WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The Brewers head to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, Game 3 of the NLCS. Tomorrow evening at 5:08 between the Brewers and Dodgers, the crew losing last night's game 5-1. Do the Brewers need to improve their focus? Pitcher Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, we have to, 100%. It's not fun to be 0-2, you know, going to L.A. I think we have to turn the page and try to come back in Los Angeles.
The Brewers have only 2 runs on 5 hits for the series so far. They've struck out 15 times. Pat Murphy.
You know, we chased way more than we've chased all year. We've been the best in baseball at not chasing. These pitchers brought out the worst in us.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Thunder, 116-112 at Fiserv Forum in their final preseason game.
Again, it was not our best basketball game, but offensively, we were really good. If we can play the same type of offense that we played tonight, you know, we're going to be pretty happy.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The future Mr. Taylor Swift, a.k.a. Travis Kelce, is already feeling the pressure to have kids with his bride-to-be. During a recent appearance on the New Heights podcast, Dwayne Johnson and Jason Kelce, Travis's older brother, encouraged him to become a dad, saying, "Your life changes in a great way." At one point, Johnson joked that he and Jason were putting the voodoo hex on Travis. Kelce popped the question to Swift in August, how great would it be if their kids had Travis's singing voice and Taylor's gridiron talents? More Ed Helms? Yes, please. Deadline.com reports that the Office actor has signed on to the new film, The Stunt Driver. The story follows Ken Carter, played by Jay Baruchel, Carter was a stuntman who tried to jump over the St. Lawrence River in a rocket-powered vehicle, which at the time was considered the most dangerous stunt ever. Helms plays Dick Keller, an engineer who designs the rocket vehicle. I'm intrigued. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, some showers around, and a low in the upper 40s. Early showers to start Thursday, then a little breezy, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-60s. Partly sunny and again in the low 70s Friday, with a few showers around. Drier and cooler this weekend. Right now it's 53.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a very important case before the Supreme Court. Will they gut what remains of the Voting Rights Act? Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count and Minnesota Public Radio. A Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. And for more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org. And I have Susan Bolio on here. Welcome, Susan. Thank you so much for coming on Native Roots Radio and talking about your journey. I was reading your bio here, and I think I'm going to read a little bit. Susan Bolio, she/her is Anishinaabe and a citizen of Red Lake. And later on, Susan, we're going to have Bob Blake from Red Lake on the show. So this is going to be a Red Lake show. And in the northern part of Minnesota, she worked directly with Indigenous communities for nearly two decades in a variety of capacities, including a project in curriculum development, training, and facilitations. Her focus in the last 12 years has been helping communities, organizations, and individuals understand the impacts of unresolved ancestral and collective traumas. And I really appreciate that, because I really, being in the community, Susan, we know a lot of our relatives, including me, are still suffering from trauma that's been let down. And I just want to welcome you to Native Roots Radio, and thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, miigwech for inviting me, Robert, and I'm really excited to have this conversation today.
Well, I want to get right into it, because we only have a short time. It's like, with your experience, I want to know how tough experience can affect our child's brain. And we talk about trauma that's been handed down either through physical birthing trauma, but also learned trauma. Let's talk a little bit about that and the signs that family might notice.
I'm so sorry.
No problem. It's live radio. We love that. It's cool.
Yeah, speaking of kiddos, I one of them just opened up the door and then skedaddled because they saw me on. So your question was around how tough experiences impact the development of the brain. Was that right, Robert?
Yes. Thank you, Susan. Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's really fascinating. So I'll preface this by saying I'm not a neuroscientist. Maybe in my next life I will be, because I find the brain fascinating. But what's really important to understand is that our experiences, that's okay, thank you. Our experiences wire our brains. So our brains are wired through our experiences. And one of the things that I want to add that I learned, oh, geez, it was during COVID, I attended online the International Trauma Conference. And one of the things that struck me was that it's not just the experiences that we have that wire our brain, but also the experiences our mother had. So if our mother had a lot of adverse childhood experiences, a lot of trauma that she experienced that she didn't have an opportunity to heal from, her nervous system is going to be more easily dysregulated, which means she's going to have those stress hormones coursing through her body, coursing through the baby's body and brain during development. And that literally wires and impacts the way that the brain develops. And so one of the things that I remember them saying that was absolutely, it blew my mind, is that constant fight flight response and those stress hormones that the mom is under during the development of her baby in utero, the baby's brain gets the message that they will be born into a dangerous environment or world. And so rather than having the neurons that would normally migrate up to the prefrontal cortex, that's our logical, rational thinking part of the brain, more of those neurons are kept in the part of the brain for fight flight. So that impacts over the long term, that child's ability to wire their brain for prefrontal cortex, which that's our logical, rational thinking part of the brain, our ability to regulate, our ability to learn, to use language, all of that is in the prefrontal cortex. So it's just fascinating that even the experiences of our mothers and the traumas that they had begins to wire our brains even in utero. And so other things that impact the developing brain is if a baby is crying, they're hungry, they're tired, they're wet, those things. And when they get soothed right away, when they get fed, when they get supported, their brains learn that the world is a safe place. They learn that they can rely on other people. When those needs aren't met, their brains get wired to believe that the world's not a safe place and they can't rely on people. And so, I mean, that has all sorts of implications, and we can talk about some of that, but those are just some of the first things that come to mind.
Well, Susan, I'm getting a little emotional here in all seriousness, because I'm an adoptee, and my birth mother was 14. Mm. And the trauma that she went through, there's no pictures of us. You know, I was adopted when I was 18 months old. So I am kind of getting emotional here, because it's come up lately, and I'm 64 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And you know, your mom, her brain was far from developed. That too, right? Like, our brains don't develop till our mid-20s, late 20s, typically for males, mid-20s, typically for females. And so just thinking about all that your mom had went through and how that got passed down epigenetically, energetically, but also in the way that your brain was wired. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of worried about people leaving still to this day for
Absolutely.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was interesting as you were talking, because I was thinking about, you know, some of the things, you know, that I've talked about in therapy, and that's come up where I personally probably have not looked at that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I want to bring in, Robert, is I feel like so often we hear things like, oh, kids are so resilient and, you know, they won't remember. They're too little to remember. But the truth is that it does wire our brains. It is stored in our body. There is a remembering of it, even if it's not at a conscious cognitive level. And so when I think about the importance of healing, it is for, you know, for not just ourselves and our families that are here today, but also those yet to come, you know. And then the other thing is, as Indigenous people, we know time is not quite a linear thing. And when we heal here, we also help heal our ancestors. And so I just want, you know, that the invitation into healing is not necessarily an easy one, but boy, is it powerful. The ripples that it can have in our own lives, in our families, in our communities, backwards and forwards. And so you know, what that healing looks like is different for every person, but just really, I think it's so beautiful that you're in therapy and you're noticing these things. And it sounds like you're really trying to figure out, like, you know, how do you begin to shift some of these patterns and beliefs and behaviors that are ingrained, some of your own experience, some is ancestral experience, right? And sometimes it's hard to tease that apart, especially in things like talk therapy, which is why other modalities like somatic practice, you know, somatic practices, tuning into the wisdom of the body, breath work, visualization, there's so many pathways to healing, including many of our own beautiful ceremonies and practices. Right. And it really is an invitation to explore, like, what resonates with us and how do we do more of those things that feel supportive for us, for our nervous systems, for our body, our heart, our mind, and our spirit.
You know, I didn't want to make this about me, but, you know, breaking the cycle, we saw our grandchildren today. We see them Wednesday and Thursday, and they're having such a different experience than even my children had. So it's they're happy to see us, and we're happy to see them and be part of their life. And so I hope I didn't hijack our segment there, but it really struck me.
Not at all. And I'm really glad that it resonated, that it struck you. And thank you for your courage in sharing that part of your story.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I am here with Susan Bolio, and this is an episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count and Minnesota Public Radio. Welcome back. And I didn't want to really make this about me, but it really struck me with your work and how healing comes in different ways. But also, I guess what we want to talk about, too, is how basically, you know, we can be on the alert where people do need help, where our young ones are acting out a little bit. Maybe we can talk a little bit about what an ACE score is and go from there.
Yeah. So I got trained in ACEs as an ACE interface presenter, ACE interface maybe 12 years ago or so. And up until that point, I hadn't heard of ACEs, but when I did, it really helped me connect the dots between the historical trauma that our communities had experienced and how that led to ACEs and ACEs cycles in our families and communities today. So ACEs stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. There are 10 original ACEs in the original ACEs study under sort of like three categories. So you have abuse, neglect, and household dysfunction. And I won't get into what all of the ACEs are. You can look it up. You can type in like find my ACE score and it'll show like a 10 questionnaire that you can just, you know, say yes or no to. And for everything you say yes to, you give yourself 1 point so you can get up to an ACE score of 10. Now, after having done this work for a while, one of the things that I want to there's a couple things that I want to say about this. One is that when they did the ACEs study, it's what's called an epidemiological study. So they were looking at a population. They weren't looking at individuals. So sometimes people take the ACE score thing and they think, oh, I have an 8 out of 10 or I have a 10 out of 10. Like I'm, you know, and then they began to create stories around that. But some of the things I want to bring up is that ACEs are not the only story. There are also positive childhood experiences that we can have then that can offset ACEs. And we can talk a little bit about that as well. But the other thing is that the ACEs themselves don't define who we are or how we show up in this world, right? So just because somebody had a particular traumatic thing that happened, depending on the age that they were, depending on the gender, depending on what part of the brain was developing at the time, depending on the type of trauma, all of those things will impact how that ACE might show up in a young person's life. So it can get pretty complex, but I think that overall the story of it is that we know that traumatic experiences, in especially in early childhood when the brain is developing rapidly, is really impactful. And the more that we can do to buffer that through relationship, through attunement with that baby, with that little one, those are things that are going to be really protective for them.
Wow. So we find out that there is some sort of issue. And then what we do is we need to take action, and part of the action is the healing journey, and I believe. And let's talk a little bit about that, because we're always into solutions here.
Yeah, I would love to, because, you know, when I first got trained in ACEs, I sort of was thinking like, oh, if people just know about this, then things will change. And I even thought that about myself. I'm a mother myself. I have 4 children. My oldest is 26, a 15-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 7-year-old. I'm a very, very different mom now than I was with my oldest. Can I share a really quick story about an aha I had as a mother? So my daughter Sophia, and she gave me permission to share this story, but my daughter Sophia, when she was maybe about 7, I was doing work in White Earth. We were doing the Tribal Neurosciences and Community Wisdom Project around ACEs, neuroscience, epigenetic ACEs, and resilience. And it was during the summer, and we were coming home from there, and she was she had brought stuff with her to do in the car. And so I'm driving, and all of a sudden I start feeling this like tightness in my belly. And I'm a pretty empathic person. I tend to feel energy pretty easily. And so I looked in the rearview mirror and I saw her in the back. She was really upset. And I was like, hey, Sophia, what's going on? And she was explaining to me, she was trying to build a house out of Legos on her lap, but she had nothing solid to build it on. And so they were falling apart. She was getting upset. And I was like, well, let's just, I was just learning about practices. So I was like, well, let's do some breathing. So I was like, let, you know, follow me. I was trying to do some deep, soft belly breathing with her, you know, and she's back there going, and she's like getting more and more activated, and I can feel it in my nervous system. And so I was like, that's okay. You don't have to do it. But I was so overwhelmed myself by her big emotion that in that moment, I only had 2 options. And those options were based on the options that the ways that my parents responded when I was having big emotions. One parent would get really angry, get upset, shut me down, right? Not a big deal, blah, 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 blah. And then you'd like just shut down. The other parent, they would shut down. But the thing about it, and so this is what I did. I thought, okay, I'm just going to shut down because I don't want to yell at her. I don't want to get upset. But in that moment, I was so aware, Robert, that I was still sending the message to her that her big emotions were not okay. And if she wanted to stay in connection with me, she had to shut those emotions down. And I realized in that moment, I had to learn how to be able to sit with my own big emotions, to regulate my own nervous system so that I could be there to support her and her siblings when they were having big emotions.
That's interesting, because as you were speaking, I was thinking about the parents' big emotion too. And you did mention that. And I remember, you know, I told you I was 64 years old, and I remember one of the big bad things that could really turn into something is spilling milk.
Yes.
I mean, just in how the big emotions come from your parents and how to deal with that. And so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of times, you know, we want to focus on what can we do to support the kids. And the truth is, the most powerful thing we can do to support our kiddos is to learn how to regulate our own nervous systems, mm-hmm. to become aware of what's coming up for us, of what's needed for us to be able to regulate. You know, one of the most powerful tools we have to influence our nervous system is our breath. And so a really powerful breath practice is a simple, like, soft belly breathing. A lot of times when I facilitate things, I'll tell people, like, take a deep breath, and they go, and it's all in the chest. And so there's a really important nerve called the vagal nerve that connects to the back of the brain, around the heart. It connects into every major organ in our torso, including wrapping around our stomach. So when we take those slow, deep belly breaths, it vibrates that vagal nerve, which then sends the message to the brain that we're safe. Because if we were running or fighting for our life, we couldn't take that slow, deep belly breath. So soft belly breathing, like, that was one of the first things that I started doing. And I literally use it every single day. And what's really interesting is my kiddos, when I first started using it, they'd be like, oh, mom's upset, right? And so one of the things that's important too is normalizing. We all have big emotions. None of us are human. None of us are immune to big emotions. This will be like, yep, I'm feeling upset right now. I'm trying to regulate my nervous system. And so just doing that repeatedly. And can I share one more really quick story?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So I was cooking dinner one night, and this was probably like 3 years ago. So my little guy, who's 7 now, he was 4, and his sister, who's a little bit older than him, she was 8. And she was really upset about something. She has really big emotions. She's a deep feeler. I'm cooking supper, you know, like, things are boiling on the stove, and I hear her really upset, and I literally, like, cannot leave to go in there. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll finish this up quick and I'll go in there. And all of a sudden I hear her little brother, her 4-year-old brother. And he says, "It's okay, Lydia, let's do some deep breathing." So they do some deep breathing together. And after about a minute, I hear him say, "There, do you feel better?" Right? So, like, the power of, like, modeling that for our kids, mm-hmm. and then also, like, practicing with them, you know? So yes, absolutely.
You know, we're really winding up here. I got to have you on again. I feel one of the things I wanted to say too about breathing, being a former brass player, is that in learning how to breathe is yawning. If you yawn, that's a proper way to take a deep breath and fill up your diaphragm as opposed to your chest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe this. I can't believe time's flown this fast. Maybe I can hold you on. I haven't seen Bob jump on yet. I want you to, we got like a minute left. I want you just to say whatever you want in regards to this.
Yeah. This journey can be a tough one, but what I can tell you, I've been on a really deep healing journey for the last 10 years. And I could not imagine the way that, like, the beautiful things that can unfold as we engage in our healing journey, both for ourselves, especially for our kiddos. I mean, I am seeing patterns breaking. I am seeing ripples in my extended family. Don't underestimate the power of your own healing. And really, like, my kids were my motivation to begin the healing journey. And then there came a point where I began to believe, I'm worth it, right? Like, I'm worth doing the work. And when I do the work, everyone benefits. So,
Well, healing is contagious. And I think we've talked a lot about the negative side, but also healing is contagious too.
Absolutely.
And can be passed down. Wow, Susan, I really do want to get you back on the show here. I really appreciate you.
Yeah.
This was a great, great, great.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. The CIA conducts covert actions in Venezuela with CBS's Ed O'Keefe reporting.
The president's confirmation of those CIA operations comes as the U.S. military continues striking alleged drug vessels in the Caribbean Sea. But the president now also isn't ruling out potential U.S. military operations inside Venezuela.
The head of the Citizenship and Immigration Services defends a new rule for those applying for a green card, CBS's Camila Montoya-Galvez.
Placing a higher emphasis on the vetting and screening of legal immigrants, including on the so-called anti-American activities and views.
Hamas returns the bodies of two more hostages after Israel says it's moving too slowly. President Trump says of the recovery process.
So we have the living hostages all back. They return some more today. It's a gruesome process. I almost hate to talk about it. But they're digging. They're actually digging.
Hamas says locating and recovering more remains will require special equipment. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
The Brewers head to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, Game 3 of the NLCS. Tomorrow evening at 5:08 between the Brewers and Dodgers, the crew losing last night's game 5-1. Do the Brewers need to improve their focus? Pitcher Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, we have to, 100%. It's not fun to be 0-2, you know, going to L.A. I think we have to turn the page and try to come back in Los Angeles.
The Brewers have only 2 runs on 5 hits for the series so far. They've struck out 15 times. Pat Murphy.
You know, we chased way more than we've chased all year. We've been the best in baseball at not chasing. These pitchers brought out the worst in us.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Thunder, 116-112 at Fiserv Forum in their final preseason game.
Again, it was not our best basketball game, but offensively, we were really good. If we can play the same type of offense that we played tonight, you know, we're going to be pretty happy.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation. And home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Week 42 of the 2025 movie season is at hand and with some nice choices. First up, what do you get when you cross a venture capitalist, a gig worker, and an inept angel? A comedy drama called Good Fortune, starring Keanu Reeves, Seth Rogen, and Aziz Ansari. The film is drawing good reviews so far, and it's nice to see another comedy in the theaters. After the Hunt, starring Julia Roberts, opened in a limited release last week and goes wide this week. Reviews are just so-so for this crime drama. Black Phone 2 hits the big screen to pretty good reviews for this horror film starring Ethan Hawke and Madeline McGraw. The film is pulling roughly the same fresh rating as the first Black Phone at around 80%. Opening in semi-wide release are two dramas. The first is Urchin, starring Fear the Walking Dead alum Frank Delane, who plays an addict living on the streets of London searching for redemption. Truth and Treason is a German historical drama about a teenager in a moral dilemma as he tries to avoid the Gestapo. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, some showers around, and a low in the upper 40s. Early showers to start Thursday, then a little breezy, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-60s. Partly sunny and again in the low 70s Friday, with a few showers around. Drier and cooler this weekend. Right now it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome, where it's hard to control your leg, and you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with. Oh, sorry. This is a serious thing. All right, what are we gonna do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee actress and filmmaker Cara Mulrooney makes the popcorn pick of the week. Then Dan Hess of Old World Wisconsin joins me to discuss a big upcoming event. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Be my wing.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Solar Bear with the Solar News, and a lot going on, and a lot of things happening climate-wise, and it's great to have you on, and then we'll talk a little sports, maybe a little later on. But Bob Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News, welcome to Native Roots Radio as always.
Hey, Robert. Great to be here. There is so much happening right now, you know, around the country. Because, you know, what happened, Robert, just recently, and I'm sure everyone has seen in the news, that this administration essentially canceled out projects that were set to begin construction, renewable energy projects that were set to begin construction in communities that spent so much time developing around workforce development, planning, policy. You see, Robert, what I think people need to understand out there is we have a very old grid, electric grid. And in that electric grid, we need to make all these different types of, how would you say, upgrades, you know? And sometimes that's transmission lines. Sometimes that's like, you know, all the electrical equipment that goes along with it, you know. Anyways, long story short, you know, these were the things that we were getting done so that we could put the renewable energy, build it, and put it up to the grid, right? So a lot of that takes time, and it takes planning. And, you know, there are plenty of people that worked in the policy world to be able to make that happen. And now comes along this administration and, you know, is friends with the fossil fuel industry and all of his buddies, and they don't like the way renewable energy has caught on in the country. And and so their big thing is we need to kill the renewable energy industry. And I just listened to your bumper there, you know, from Tom Hartman, and he was talking about it. And so, you know, it's real, Robert. And I unfortunately, what happened was a lot of these projects across the country now have been pulled back. And I want to remind folks too, you know, a lot of these, these were all under contracts. So, you know, where's contract law? Like, thought that's what we as a country got behind. I thought that's what the Supreme Court would get behind. But we know that, and we now know that the Supreme Court is compromised if they're not behind contract law.
Well, check it out, too. We talked a little bit, message back and forth. What's happened up in Alaska, for instance, with the typhoon, there are warning signals that normally come that weren't available because of cuts.
Exactly. And that's the other point about this, folks. Like, we're a lot of people are going to die. They're going to get hurt because of the cuts that this administration is making. And, you know, I just saw a report on, you know, these young Republicans. And, you know, Robert, it makes me question now, and Robert, you're a parent, and I am in no way, you know, casting shade on parents right now and what they have to go through. They have to go through a lot. But I'm just wondering, Robert, and I'm asking the question, and I'm asking it out there to everyone, you know, because we're giving awards to everybody and no one never loses, are we losing our ability to have empathy for our fellow man, you know? And because we're not learning how to lose, you know, we're not learning how to empathize with, you know, not being able to, like, you know, relate to other people and their misery, so to speak. So consequently, are we just, did we just raise a generation of brats now, you know?
Well, let me just say this. Yes. No, I'm just kidding. One of the things I believe with this administration is that there's a lot of things that have come out, whether it's okay to be racist up front, it's okay to, so maybe these people that are narcissistic, like the president, of felt empowered to be able to act like big brats. I that's what I believe, but
yeah, because I mean, I'm just saying, like, I just remember, you know, in growing up, and you know, you're 1, 2, 3, you get, you know, that's, you get first, second, and third place, and if you don't get it, you don't get it. I mean, I think there was a learning lesson in that, and then somehow, like, it changed. And I'm just wondering now that we're dealing with this next generation of, you know, folks coming in,
The only thing that I think that happened this last generation was COVID and people not being able to go to school and to deal with people. I don't really believe there's still placings out there. They still understand that. I just think COVID's really kind of changed a generation there.
Yeah, check this article out, Robert, on Politico. I think it's fascinating for these young Republicans and hearing their gripes, because
I feel like it's
just a lot of crying is what I feel like. You know, it's like a lot of boo-hoo me, you know.
Well, we talked about that Politico article yesterday with Arvina Martin, and I don't know if it's the same article, but it definitely talked about what the Republican young people were talking about in some chat. And it really brought out a lot of weirdness because, well, look at, you know, I mean, people, a lot of young people adored Charlie Kirk. And what he said is way offline, you know, what he believed in. But there was other people that joined in on that.
Yeah, and that's my point, Robert. Like, you know, did we go too far when we started telling all our kids, like, they were number one and they were the best and that the world is there for the oyster for them? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And because, like, there's a certain thing you learn about losing. You know, there's a certain way that there's a certain lesson you learn about. You realize that, okay, you know, it didn't work this time. I got to work harder for next time. You know what I mean? And you knowing that, being told that, you know, I'm glad I had two older brothers that told me, Bob, you're the worst. You're never going to accomplish anything.
Wow.
Because it made me want to just work that much harder, you know?
Well, I remember reading an article probably in the 70s about our generation was worthless, selfish, lazy. And then the quote was by Aristotle when he was talking about kids. So I think we all go through this process. I just think the Republican children are out in front because of the way we have our leadership here. I mean, you know, we can talk about mass shootings are okay too. People seem to be jumping into that. No problem, where that wasn't happening when we were kids either.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. I mean, hey man, you know, I think there's a lot to be learned here. There's a lot to be analyzed, because I just don't know how you can have a generation that thinks that, you know, being a Nazi is okay. I mean, I just don't know where that comes from, Robert. I'm just honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been boiling up for a while is what I believe. And now we have a president that's saying, you know, when remember the Tiki Boys, he said, and then they killed that girl that was protesting him. And he said, the president said, they're both a good group of people.
Oh, I know. Unbelievable. Robert, we've got you know, interconnection bottleneck is threatening community solar down in Illinois.
Oh.
And it was interesting because I met this woman at a conference I spoke at in Detroit, Michigan yesterday, who works in clean energy down in Illinois, a native woman. And she does a lot of the workforce development. And, you know, we were just talking about the interconnection process and how the utilities are holding this up. And,
right.
You know, I had to tell her, I said, you know, they they know that, you know, that I don't think they expected the success or the price of, you know, community solar projects, renewable energy solar, to come down as fastly as it did.
Right.
And now, you know, you look at these renewable energy projects, I mean, they're beating natural gas. I mean, they're being the cheapest energy source out there. And that is just remarkable. I mean, this is like what the renewable energy industry did to the electrical industry is like nothing short of a miracle. To turn it on its back like this.
Right. Well, and we talked about for as long as you've been on the show how the pricings went down, whether it was solar panels, whether it was batteries and the technology. And then you love my analogy about the calculator. It was as big as a laptop, and it was like really expensive, and now you can have a calculator on the tip of your pen.
Robert, you are so correct. And I mean, I think though, Robert, that I want the folks out there to know and hear is that we learned a lot. We learned a lot about getting renewable energy into our communities. And so I think the next time around, we are going to be just that much better at deploying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good call there. You know, did you see White Earth is suing 3M because of those forever chemicals that they've been putting in there? That's a real interesting solar bear news, maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so, you know, on that situation, I mean, I think we also need to think about, too, Robert, all of the coal plants out in North Dakota that are burning coal. And, you know, that mercury rides the jet wave, the jet stream, and lands on all of Minnesota's lakes. Yeah. And so if you think about that pollution, Robert, and what that's doing to our tourism industry, to our fish, to our freshwater lakes, you could probably make a case against the energy companies that they knew what they were doing, just like 3M knew what they were doing. And this isn't, to me, Robert, anything different than, remember all the cases that went against the cigarette companies?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I also wanted to say, too, we're going to take a quick break, Bob, but I also wanted to say, too, when we went down to Iowa and all those factory farms you can smell in the state of Iowa and southern Minnesota, that's going in our air, too. And that's how you and I became radio stars is down in Iowa. Oh, wow. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back after this short break. I'm with Bob Blake from Red Lake. Solar Bear with the Solar News. Up next, Solar Bear with the Sport News. Oh, wow.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I am here with Bob Blake from Red Lake and Solar Bear with the Solar News. And you were traveling and on a speaking engagement and wanted to touch base with you. My Brewers there from Milwaukee are 0-2 now with the hated Dodgers. And there's more reasons to hate the Dodgers, too. The owner of the Dodgers has heavily invested in ICE camps, and so he's not a good person. Plus, we like our neighboring state, the Brewers, but they're down 0-2.
Yeah, I mean, isn't Magic Johnson one of the owners too of the LA Dodgers? And
right,
I mean, this guy's had HIV for dang near 30 years, Robert. 40 years.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
So, what if we got those drugs for, you know, everyone else that contracted the virus? Right. I'm just saying, like,
right.
It's like there's, you know, it's like the, you know, the HMOs and everything, they make all this money, you know what I mean, off of us being sick. And then if you don't have the money, you don't get the medicine. And I don't know. I think Magic's a perfect example of the guy who's got the money, who's been able to get the right medication. And it really makes me believe that how many other, other things that they figured out with cancer and everything else that they're just not sharing with us so they can continue to bill us.
Well, and one of the points I'd like to make when it comes to Magic Johnson and all these athletes, and just generally speaking, I believe most of our athletes are Republican, and, money does crazy things to people, no matter where you're from. It's amazing. But, I don't like to talk about that because I like baseball and I do follow football, and I feel like football is a big plantation too. These guys don't have contracts. Only a few people have contracts that are guaranteed. So you break a leg, you're done. You don't even get to pay you.
Well, how about the NFL, right? I was getting the public to pay for their stadiums. Right. So socializing the costs, but then, you know, internalizing the profits, right? That's because that's what they do.
Well, you know the NFL is a nonprofit. Did you know that?
There you go, right there. So they socialize the cost of the game, but then they, but then they maximize the profits for themselves. Like, boy, isn't that a scam? You know what I mean?
It is, and we paid $1 billion. It was cheaper to go to Mars the first time than it was to build U.S. Bank Stadium.
Right, and I'll be the first to tell you, I love going to that stadium. It's such a good
time. See, and I've been boycotting it because of the birds. But if you have a empty seat in your suite, give me a call.
Oh, yeah, wow. I'll let you know. I just got invited to the Timberwolves suite here in a couple weeks, so I'll be checking that out. But you know, Robert, the Vikings have a game coming up.
Yeah,
and it's the Philadelphia Eagles on the 19th, right?
Yeah.
Philadelphia has not been performing. They've been losing.
No.
The Giants beat them, right? The 1-4 Giants beat them. And Cam Skidibo and Jackson Dart, I believe. They really came together. But I'll tell you what, Robert, I think the Vikings have a chance to beat the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday at US Bank Stadium. And yes, and I'm telling you, all you sports fans out there, this is going to be a really good game, but I really do believe that Carson Wentz, you know, who was the star at one point in time at the Philadelphia Eagles, Robert,
got
is
hurt.
Going to have a statement game here.
Well, is he still injured, though? Because there's still, isn't there still a quarterback controversy when it comes to who's going to start?
I really feel like KOC is going to lean on Wentz to start this game. I don't think he's going to hand it over to J.J. McCarthy just quite yet. And I got to tell you, Robert, I mean, I think that they were able to have this bye week off. They were able to get some rest. They were able to, you know, kind of get everybody healthy again. And I'm just saying, man, I really like the odds of the Vikings beating the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles at U.S. Bank Stadium and Carson Wentz having one of the best games of his career.
Amen to that. That'd be great. Well, Addison was kind of benched the first quarter of the last game because some attitude issues, but he'll be there the whole game. Now, hopefully, he won't start out the game with some attitude issues. Maybe that's what you were talking about last segment, these young ones thinking they can have an attitude. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the way that I understand it is, you know, he didn't make like a team meeting or something. He was late, something like that. And who knows where he was. But, you know, I imagine if you're in a foreign country, it would probably be a good idea to stick with your team. And, you know, the team security, that's another point. You know, why didn't team security have, you know, yeah. So everybody, just so y'all know, Solar Bear used to sit with the teams when they used to come in from out of town at the Westin out in Edina. I used to sit with the teams, and I used to get this little list of the players, and I used to have to go and check on their rooms. And I'm there with one of the team guys, and we would mark them off. Where was team security, Vikings? I still think you know, Neil Bender is probably doing the security for the Vikings. Good guy, former St. Paul cop. I'm almost positive he's still doing it. But I don't want to put it all on him because there's probably other folks involved. But hey, man, we're like, how do we let Jordan Addison get away? Like, he's kind of important to the team, everybody.
Yeah, well, he showed it when he came back. So this time of the season, if you're a sports nut, you got hockey, football, baseball, and basketball coming up. It's insane.
Robert, this is the greatest time to be a sports fan. I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. I love the fall. I mean, and not only that, we've got Halloween coming up. Everybody, it's on a Friday. The Solar Bear is going to be out celebrating Halloween on Friday night. I mean, I'm super excited. Robert, by the way, my Halloween costume is going to be the frog. I'm going to wear the frog.
Right.
I'm going to wear the frog costume as like a protester.
Well, interesting too. Did you get one? Because they've sold out in a lot of places. So
I was told today at lunch from my buddy that he got us the costume. So good. I'm going to be wearing it, everybody, when I'm out this on Friday night. Going around the town. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I'm telling you, Robert, I think the Vikings are going to win this Sunday. Robert, here's the other thing. The Dodgers just look tough. I'm sorry. They look tough. I just don't know how that's going to work out for our Milwaukee Brewers. And Wisconsin people, I am pulling for you on that. Incidentally, this last game with the Packers playing the Cincinnati Bengals, Packer fans, I didn't like the way the defense looked. I did. That was a backup quarterback. That should not have happened that close of a game with the Packers and Bengals. The Packers should have blew the Bengals out.
Well, hey, just to change subject, we're ending the show right now. Good ups on the Packers. Hey, so are you going to the No Kings march this weekend on Saturday? That's be a good time to wear that costume too.
I gotta see if my buddy got our costumes. He said he ordered them, so I would definitely wear it to the No Kings. And absolutely, everybody, go to the No Kings march.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WXCO in Wausau, Wisconsin for their open house. Chad Holmes from XCO as long, as well as Dan Schaefer on the Recombobulation Area on Politics. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Matt Nair on air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he signed off on CIA action in Venezuela to fight drug smuggling by sea and will also stop them by land. But Dan Herman with the Center for American Progress says
many are quite concerned that the administration is operating outside the law, that these strikes so far have been an illegal abuse of wartime powers, and some sort of CIA activity would be a dangerous escalation.
The Supreme Court hears arguments in a case that could remove provisions of the Voting Rights Act that favor minority voters. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
It may be the end of the Voting Rights Act era, but exactly how it ends is unclear.
More U.S. adults would be deemed obese under a new definition. Study author Dr. Lindsay Foreman.
The new definition is essentially capturing this new group of people, the anthropometric only.